Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store. This weekend's message is from Tyler McKenzie. He's the lead pastor here at Northeast.
We are in the fifth week now, of a sermon series we started called How to Be the Church During a Pandemic. Sound relevant to you? We believe it is, because we believe that the Christian worldview actually provides us with spiritual resources that can help us not just survive, but thrive through COVID-19. So over the last few weeks, we've just been hitting on biblical characteristics that we think can be especially helpful. We talked about unflinching resiliency in the first week. We've talked about trust unto death, resurrection life on Easter. And today, I want to address from this stage what I feel like is probably the most pressing felt need that I've heard from the people in our congregation. Mental health. Now, if you've been around Northeast long, you know that we don't shy away from this topic. Talk about mental health fairly often. And every time I do, I always feel like I need to throw this disclaimer out there. All right, so let me just go ahead and throw it out there. At Northeast, we believe in a holistic approach to treatment when it comes to mental health. So spiritual solutions, faith solutions, are absolutely vital for your treatment plan in order to get better. But outside of spiritual solutions, we believe you also need medical solutions, psychological solutions, counseling, emotional, relational, nutritional, fitness solutions. They all matter. God created the whole person, and so we need a treatment plan that addresses the whole person. Now, that having been said, here's what you need to know about me. I am not a medical doctor. I'm not a mental health professional. I'm not a counselor. I've tried to do some counseling a time or two because of my pastoral role, and I'm not very good at it, even when I do. So today, I'm just going to stay in my lane, and I'm going to offer you spiritual solutions, straight from Scripture. And I think that if you take these solutions and apply them to your life, then they'll help you. They're not a silver bullet, but they'll help you. But what I realize right now is there are people watching this who have chronic mental health issues that they struggle with day in and day out. So while I hope this sermon is helpful and encouraging, I know that you're gonna need help beyond this. This is not the time for you to stop seeing your counselor, for the record. This is not the time for you to stop taking your medication. This is not the time for you to cut off some of those self-care strategies that you were doing before this. You gotta be creative and resilient and continue now more than ever to lean in to mental health. So if you need more than what this sermon provides, we've actually created a landing page on our website for you. necchurch.org, that's our website, /care. On that page, you'll see four different tabs that you can choose from. You can schedule a listening appointment with one of our pastors, which is literally a pastor will sit, listen, pray, offer spiritual advice to you, and then help you figure out where you might be able to get medical advice or help you find a good counselor. We also have a mental health resources landing page where you can find counseling services, articles, past sermons. If you go to the next slide, you'll see there's a prayer slot where you can throw prayers in and you will be prayed for by leaders at our church. And then we're also launching care groups for people who have mental health struggles from anxiety. There are peer support groups for healthcare professionals and teachers. There's even a care group for folks who want to work on their own self-leadership and self-care during this time. So necchurch.org/care, get on that page. Now, literally, navigate away from the sermon, all right? Keep the sermon on in the background, but open up another tab and go to this page right now. Discover, explore, and find what your next step could be. All right, now that having been said, let's talk spiritual solutions. Here's the question I want to open with today. I want you to think about this because I know you've noticed this. What is it about a pandemic that has caused our mental health struggles to spike? Because they have spiked. For those of you who struggle with mental health constantly, you know it's probably gone from bad to worse. For those of us who don't normally struggle with mental health issues, you can feel anxiety and stress and grief and disappointment and fear and uncertainty begin to rise inside of you for like a month now. So what is it? What exactly is it about a pandemic that causes this? Well, in order to understand this, we have to rewind back to 1943. 1943, Abraham Maslow, psychologist, actually came up with a theory that addresses human needs. Today, it's famously known as Maslow's hierarchy of human needs. And here's how it works. Basically, he believes that self-actualization or human flourishing is possible for anyone to the degree that their more foundational, basic needs in life are met. So basically what you have to do is you have to work your way from the bottom of the pyramid up to the top. At the bottom of the pyramid are more fundamental needs like physiological needs, air, food, water, shelter, sleep, safety needs, you know, personal security, employment, and health. And the more you have access to those, the more you can live at the top of the pyramid. So basically it's built on this principle. Self-actualization happens better when your life circumstances are better. And for the most part, I have found that to be true. So, that having been said, back to our question. I think it lends some insight to it. What is it about a pandemic that causes mental health issues to spike? Or maybe I could ask it to you like this. Why am I hoarding toilet paper? Why am I binge eating? Why am I day drinking daily? Why has my screen addiction gone from bad to worse? Why can't I sleep? Or why am I taking long breaks to look out the window? Why am I so glued to the news? Why am I Googling everything about COVID-19? Why am I so irritable, so tired, so panicked, so full of despair? Why is it that I'm thinking and acting in ways today that I never would have a month ago? Maslow raises his hand and says, I know the answer to that question. Do you want to know? It's because, back to our pyramid, some of your most fundamental needs have been threatened, or for some of us have been completely taken. Now, that's new for most of America. This is a new phenomenon for us. See, just by the very nature that you were privileged enough to be born in America means that these fundamental needs that we all have been met in your lives in ways that most of the developing world would never be able to imagine. Most of us, just by the nature of our birth, are able to live the top of the pyramid. Until all of a sudden, wham, a month ago, a pandemic hits, our country gets shut down, you can't see your people, there's no food on the grocery shelves, you lose your job, your portfolio collapses, and before you know it, we all go into freak out mode. This is why. This is why we act, we think, we do things right now that normally we'd be uncomfortable with, but all of a sudden they just sort of show up in our lives. Now, again, I think Maslow's hierarchy does a really good job of explaining the human condition. It does a good job of explaining why we feel anxious, why we feel fear, why we feel uncertainty. But today, I want to show you a passage from Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, that I believe actually explains better the human condition, that offers a solution that's even better for human flourishing and human actualization than Maslow's hierarchy. You see, Maslow's hierarchy leaves us desperately beholden to our physical circumstances. But Paul says, I have a way for you to flourish that goes beyond even your physical circumstances. Again, it's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. And if you would, we're going to read this passage together. So would you stand with me right now? Would you just stand? If you're with your children, you know, please ask your children to stand just out of the word, respect for the word of God. And while you're standing, I'll tell you one interesting idiosyncrasy about this passage. When Paul writes Philippians chapter 4 here, he's actually in quarantine. Did you know that? Okay, so this is one of Paul's four prison epistles, if you will. He writes this from prison. Now, I believe the letter to Philippi was written while he was in prison in Rome, waiting his trial to give witness to Caesar about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And since Paul was a Roman citizen of relative status, his prison wouldn't have looked like dungeons and chains. It would have looked like house arrest. He'd have been put on house arrest, pretty comfortable, but still got to be careful with your words, not to say the wrong thing in front of a government official, or else you'll end up in exile or even worse, dead. So he's in quarantine. He knows how you feel. And in the midst of his house arrest, his quarantine, this is what he writes. Start with me in verse 4. The numbers are mine because I want you to see the way he breaks these principles out. First, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. So do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's pleasing, whatever's commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I'm referring to being in need. And then check this out. He says, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's the word of the Lord. You can be seated. Be seated. And thank you for standing. Now, did you catch it? Did you catch what Paul said? This is what he said. He said, it's actually possible to have peace no matter your circumstances. And who wouldn't want that? He goes even further. He says, it's actually possible to self-actualize, to flourish, to thrive as a human being no matter your circumstances. And who wouldn't want that? I know I want that. And I'm sure you do too, so let's get that right now. I want to lay out for you the four principles he gives us here. And again, these are four spiritual solutions, not a silver bullet, but four spiritual solutions that will help you move towards mental health during this time. Principle number one, the Apostle Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice in Jesus at all times. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, quick breakdown of this verse right here. First, the Greek word for rejoice actually means to just acknowledge the fact that you got it pretty good. And it's an imperative, it's a command. So the Apostle Paul says, I command you, this is an order, you need to acknowledge that in the grand scheme of things, you got it pretty good. And how often does he tell us to do this? Well, he says always. Greek word for always means always or at all times, maybe even better translation. And the reason why we are able to acknowledge that we got it pretty good at all times is because of what? Well, Paul says it's because of where you locate yourself in the Lord. So perhaps I could say it like this to you. Here's what I believe. The reason why a lot of us worry so much about our physical needs in life is because we forget our spiritual inheritance in Christ. And when we remember our spiritual inheritance in Christ, that's when we can step back and say, man, in the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of eternity, no matter how hard my 70, 80 years here is, I've got it pretty good because I'm in Christ. Now look, I say that today not to guilt you, but to give you the good news of being in Jesus. Did you know that literally your 401k could just crash tonight? Like now I'm not talking 10, 20%. I'm talking about disappear by tomorrow morning. And tomorrow you'd still have all that you need in Christ. Do you know that you could lose that job that's so much a part of your identity? Or for some of you, that job that you lost, it could stay lost. And yet, you still have all that you need in Christ. Did you know that, like worst case scenario, all the conspiracy theories could be true? Let's just pretend for a second that all the conspiracy theories are true. Let's just pretend that POTUS, the Republicans, the Democrats, and the scientific community are all in league together on this. Okay, let's just pretend. And then let's pretend that COVID-19 is secretly a bioweapon. The vaccine is the mark of the beast. This is all a plot to end religious liberty in the United States of America. And somehow Bill Gates and 5G cell service are involved. Let's just pretend for a second. And even if all that was true, guess what? Tomorrow, you and I would still have all that we need in Christ. Did you know that you could get sick from this virus? Or even worse, you could lose a loved one because of this virus? And you would still have, as hard as that would be, you would still have all that you need in Christ? Or did you know that, believe it or not, a pandemic could strike, shut down everything, cancel everything, and totally disrupt all the things that you've been depending on for significance and security for so long, and you would still have all that you need in Christ? Hey, look, y'all, that's good news. During some really, really tough days. You know, last year I found myself having some tough days. And I was sitting in a hotel room, and so I just decided to sit down. And 2 hours later, I came up with a list, literally a computer page long, of all the things Scripture says I have and you have in Christ. And it was powerful for me. In fact, I've shared it with some of you before, but I want to share it with you today as an encouragement of who you are in Him. Here's what you have in Christ. You have freedom, innocence, grace upon grace, redemption, and the righteousness of God in Christ. You have a heavenly Father, a selfless Son, a Holy Spirit, and billions of brothers and sisters, the spiritual family in Christ. You have no condemnation, new birth, new life, new creation, new clothes, new mind, new heart, new nature, new covenant, and a new spirit that rose Christ from the dead, then placed you in a new family, and then sealed you with a new destiny in Christ. You are chosen, saved, accepted, and adopted in Christ. You've been consecrated, liberated, initiated, supplied, anointed, purified, sanctified, and justified in Christ. You have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control in Christ. You have wisdom, knowledge, vision, imagination, creativity, focus, and purpose in Christ. You have the mission of God, the meaning of life, and the mystery of the gospel in Christ. You've been made alive, made new, made steadfast, made one, and made grateful in Christ. The veil has been lifted and torn in Christ. The distance has been narrowed. The ransom has been paid. The trespasses have been canceled and the chains have been broken. Praise God in Christ. You've been given power, victory, triumph, strength, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, and immeasurable riches in Christ. You've been given a promise that one day you'll be consummated, vindicated, resurrected, rewarded, crowned, and perfected in Christ. You have an identity. You have a story. You have eternal value and worth in Christ. You have the image of God. You have the cross-shaped love of Jesus, and you have a realistic assessment of your evil and a way out in Christ. You have a transfusion of life, an epic mission, an epic purpose, an epic ending filled with life-giving, hair-raising, breathtaking, love-making meaning all along the way in Christ. And that's just a little bit of what you have in Christ. And if that's all true, then in the grand scheme of eternity, you and I have all that we need in Christ. And Paul says there's only one response to that. We should rejoice. We should rejoice in the Lord, in Jesus at all times. That's spiritual practice number one, and man, it can help. Now, here's number two, second. Paul says, pray your anxieties with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:5, the Lord is near. Do not worry, be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Now, quick note on this verse right here. I know that during times like this, it feels like God is distant, but the Apostle Paul says God is not distant, he's near. So take your prayers and supplications with thanksgiving to him. And I know some of you are like, okay, prayers, got that. I love to pray and I can up the ante on that. But Tyler, what in the world is a supplication? It sounds kind of scary, actually. You know, Dr. Karen is here for her supplication now. I mean, it's terrifying, right? But I just want you to know that a supplication is just another word for prayer. So again, Paul keeps it simple. He tells us to pray our anxieties with thanksgiving. Now, here's what you need to know about this verse. Paul is absolutely talking about anxiety. And I want you to notice what he doesn't tell us to do with our anxiety. He doesn't tell us to ignore it. He doesn't tell us to suppress it. He doesn't tell us to feel guilty about it. He doesn't tell us to somehow pretend that our faith is weak or less than because we experience it. Rather, Paul tells us to pray it. See, in Paul's mind, there is a really, really big difference between this is hard and scary versus God. This is hard and scary. In Paul's mind, there's a big difference between I don't know if I can get through this versus God. God, I don't know if I can get through this. And I know that one word may sound so minuscule to you and to me, but it's not. Because when we address it to God, we're then placing our anxieties in his hands. See, I believe that praying your anxieties to God builds intimacy with him, gains perspective from him, and also shows our trust in him. And that helps. That will help over time. Now back to the verse. Paul says, pray our anxieties with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Did you notice that? He says, with thanksgiving. And I want to highlight that for a moment because that's not, for most of us, our normal formula for prayer. Do you know how most of us pray? Most of us pray like this. We pray, and then we wait for God to answer, and then we offer thanksgiving to God, if God answers in a way that we consider to be at least sufficient. But that's not how Paul tells us to approach it here. No, he says, you are to pray, and while you're praying, you are to thank. Pray with thanksgiving, even before you get an answer from God. You pray and you thank him even though you don't know what sort of answer you'll get from God. Rather, you just trust him and trust that his answer will ultimately be best. Now, that sounds like all good and holy and saintly and well, right? But you know when that gets really, really hard? During a pandemic, when times are tough and you're desperate for an answer, and it's hard to believe that somehow God can take this madness and evil and suffering and work it for the good. But God promises he can. And this is the model that Jesus gives us for prayer. Did you know that in the last 24 hours of Jesus' life, he struggled from extreme mental stress? And yet, this is how he prays to God. In Gethsemane, the scriptures tell us that an angel from heaven appeared to strengthen Jesus. He was in anguish. He was praying earnestly. Sweat was dropping from his face like blood. A lot of stress, right? In fact, it tells us that he says, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Like if there is any other way, Dad, but notice what he says next. Not my will, but yours be done. On the cross, Jesus is suffering from literally the forsakenness of all the sin in the world. Says he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's a lot of stress. And yet with his last breath, shortly after, Jesus also says, Father, into your hands I commend, or the word there is I entrust. I trust my spirit. You see the tension he lives in there? See how he prays with trust, with thanksgiving? Dr. Timothy Keller summed it up like this once. I love it. He said, we must trust that God is saying to us, when a child of mine makes a request of me, I will give them what they would have asked for if they knew everything that I know. They could see the big picture like me. And we can't see the big picture like him, so we're told to pray and thank even before he answers. That's principle number two. Here's principle number three. The Apostle Paul says, think on the things of God. Think on the things of God. Finally, beloved, whatever's true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. And what I particularly love about this strategy is that it is a strategy that is employed by many mental health professionals today. One of my friends calls it the power of reframing, or the power of changing your mindset. So changing your mindset looks like this. It means instead of thinking this, you think that instead. Instead of thinking of what might come true in all the worst case scenarios, I think of what is true. Or instead of thinking of what I can't control, I think of the things that I can control. The power of reframing your mind. Now, as Christians, I think that when we're trying to reframe or change our mindsets, we should start by thinking through some of the most foundational doctrines of Christianity. That's where we should start. Because when we start with doctrine, it trickles down from our head into our heart and then affects our life practically. So here's a few simple doctrines of Christianity that can help you through this time. How about this one? God will provide what I need. Jesus promised if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then God will provide what we need. Or how about this next one? God will work this, no matter how evil it is. God doesn't cause evil, but God can work this evil for good in my life. How about this next one? Nothing can ever separate me from God's love. No trial or tribulation, no death or demon, no not nothing, nothing can separate us. How about this next one? Either this side of heaven or the other, all will be healed. Revelation 21 promises that God will one day say, look, I'm making everything new. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. All these things are gone forever. Or how about this last one? The great promise within the Great Commission, often forgotten. Jesus is always with me. Literally, the last words he gives to his disciples in Matthew's gospel is this. Be sure of this. Be sure. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, those are powerful doctrinal truths. And again, I believe as we meditate and pray and think on those, they'll begin to change our mindset and affect us in practical ways. Like maybe this, during a pandemic. Instead of thinking I'm stuck at home, now we can think I'm safe with loved ones. And I have this opportunity to invest in my loved ones. Instead of thinking social distancing is a violation of my freedoms, we think, well, I'll sacrifice to love my neighbor. Instead of thinking, I'm gonna run out of food and toilet paper, we think, oh, I have what I need. And a church family, that will help. Or instead of thinking, my future plans are ruined, we can think, God has different plans for my future that are good. Instead of thinking, I'm all alone, we can thank Jesus with me. Instead of thinking I might get sick or die, we can think, probably not, but death's not the end. Death's a door for the Christian. Or, and some of you showed up today for this piece of advice right here, instead of thinking, let's spend more time on Netflix with Joe Exotic, we can say, let's spend more time with Jesus. And there's the ultimate Jesus juke of 2024, you're right there. Thus saith the Lord. All right, fourth principle. Here's the last one. The Apostle Paul says, keep it up, keep it up. Keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, keep it up. Now, here's what I think is important. During COVID-19, we gotta show ourselves a little grace. We do, it's hard times. On day 689 of quarantine, or at least it feels like 689 days, when those little demons, I mean kids, are driving you crazy, you might have an irritable moment. Okay, you may slam 2, 5, 7 entire carton of ice cream one night. You may have a dark day or two along the way. You gotta show yourself some grace. Jesus certainly has shown you grace. But grace having been given, we have to remind ourselves of the truth. And that is that COVID-19 does not make obeying or following Jesus optional. In fact, I think this moment is even more important for us to follow. So Paul says, keep it up, keep it up, keep following, never tire of being and building the church. All right, quick review. 4 spiritual practices that will help. Rejoice in Jesus at all times. Pray your anxieties with thanksgiving. Think of the things of God and keep it up, keep it up, keep on following, Paul says. Now, here's the way I want to close today. Same way Paul closes. Same way he closes this passage. It's interesting. For the first half of this passage, he lays out these spiritual principles for us. But in the last half of this passage, he actually shows us how he knows they work. He gets personal with us. And he tells us, the reason why I know these work is because they have worked for me. See, if you know much about Paul's biography, read the New Testament, you know that Paul experienced some high highs and some low lows in life. He experienced spiritual afflictions. He experienced all sorts of mental stress. He experienced physical pain and suffering, like the whole gamut. Paul experienced it all. And yet, he tells us that he was able to thrive even through that because he remained connected. He leaned into Jesus. Philippians 4:11, this is what he says. He says, I've learned to be content. Hold on to that word. I've learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty, and of being in need. Now, quick pause here real quick. The Greek word underneath content is the Greek word autarkes. And what's fascinating about this word, I was actually talking to a friend of mine this week who's a Greek scholar, is that it has more activeness to it rather than passivity to it. See, he told me, he's like, content's a pretty good English translation for it, but it's not energetic enough. It's not powerful enough. Content implies a passive acceptance of the circumstances around you, but autarkes, it implies an active flourishing, no matter the circumstances around you. And I think that is far more indicative of the Paul we read about in the scriptures. That's why he says what he says next here in Philippians 4:13. He says, I can passively accept. No, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Popular Christian verse, right? And probably one of the most abused, taken out of context Christian verses there are out there. I remember I used to write it on my tape when I played baseball. Because I thought if I wrote it enough times and prayed it enough times, I might go 3 for 3. That's not how it works, though. Hey, watch this, okay? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm gonna fly now. Yeah, okay, it didn't work, right? A couple weeks ago, I saw on Twitter one of the richest televangelists in America actually say that he was going to destroy COVID-19 with the breath of God. And then this is what he said. He said, COVID-19. Now, spoiler alert, it didn't work because that's not how it works. Now, I think a far better presentation that captures the heart of Paul in Philippians 4:13 would be this. This is what Paul's saying. He's saying, whatever I have, wherever I am, even during a pandemic, no matter the physical circumstances around me, I can flourish through Jesus who strengthens me. So that leaves us all with a choice today. And I believe this choice right here is far more realistic and far more helpful, okay? But it leaves us all with a choice today. Do you want to do life, you wanna walk through this pandemic with Jesus or without him? You have a choice between Maslow's hierarchy or Paul's spirituality. And while Maslow's hierarchy works, it leaves you desperately beholden to the physical circumstances around you. And COVID-19 has shown us that we have very little control of the physical circumstances around us. Maybe you'll get lucky. Maybe you were lucky enough to be born into a privileged home. Maybe you weren't. And so you've always struggled with these bottom rungs of the pyramid. Maybe you're lucky. Or maybe you were born with a mental health struggle that has made you always struggle with the bottom rungs of this pyramid. Or for all of us, eventually we all hit a pandemic. We all face random suffering. Or we all face the impact of our own sin and the sins of others. And that threatens the bottom rung of this pyramid, and it undermines us from being able to live a life of human flourishing, of self-actualization. Paul says, look, I've got a better way, a way that actually transcends the physical circumstances around you. It's the way of Jesus. Whatever you have, wherever you are, even during a pandemic, you can flourish through Jesus who gives you strength. So look, we have all we need in Christ. We do. God doesn't give us an end date to COVID-19, but you know what he gives us? Something far more powerful. He gives us Jesus, who can walk us through no matter when COVID-19 ends. Have all we need. And I'm just challenging you today to throw all your trust, all your hope in Jesus. Ann Voskamp says it like this. This is how I close. She writes, God gave us Jesus. And if God didn't withhold from us his very own son, will God withhold anything we need? If trust must be earned, hasn't God unequivocally earned our trust with the bark on his raw wounds, the thorns pressed onto his brow, your name on his cracked lips. How will he not also graciously give us all things he deems best and he deems right? He's already gave us the incomprehensible. We have all we need in Jesus.